Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest is Jim Kraft, the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization, or JIEDO's, Chief Information Officer. Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Glad to be here.
So let's start with some specifics. Let's start with your organization. What is the mission of JIEDO?
JIEDO was an organization formed in 2006 to meet the, at that time, rapidly escalating threat of improvised explosive devices. And what happened was, as you're probably aware, in Iraq and Afghanistan, the enemy found that these were very effective. We beat them on the battlefield whenever we faced them, but they wanted to hurt us and hurt us bad. And they adapted a technology used by terrorists around the world to start hitting our forces and a lot of innocent victims. And this technology has been proliferating around the world. And we found that the regular way of doing business, the traditional acquisition, procurement, research, fielding, training organizations, couldn't innovate fast enough to meet the rapidly innovating approaches used by the terrorists. And so JIEDO was formed. They pulled together, it originally started, its origins was an Army task organization. And then it became this special organization given some special provisions by Congress, a rapid acquisition process that uses all the DFARS regulations, some special funding considerations, and the ability to link to the senior leadership in the Department of Defense. And my boss, Lieutenant General Barbero, reports directly to the Deputy Secretary of Defense. So those kinds of things really empowered the organization, and they've produced an incredible result.
So you guys are about 7 years old. As the war is winding down in Afghanistan specifically, does this mean the end for you guys? So is the end near, or is it something that you guys will keep on keeping on, but using what you've learned from Iraq and Afghanistan and just applying it in different ways?
Well, I mean, we respond to whatever, you know, the nation directs us to do. So the future, like the future of many things, is, you know, in discussion right now. However, I will say that there, Afghanistan does not necessarily show a decrease in the IEDs that are going on there. The threat is still going and going hard, and we're responding to it. We're also supporting U.S. forces globally. So IEDs are not just in Afghanistan. They're spreading throughout Europe and Africa. We've had IEDs come into the United States, as people are probably aware. The technology is being spread by global networks at the speed of the internet, and we're working through a whole-of-government approach to try and deal with that and with all the combatant commands.
Unfortunately, it sounds like you may be busy for a long, long time. Let's talk about your role as CIO. What do you do? What is your mission to support the organization?
You know, a lot of people have the title CIO. You have to really go back to Klinger Cohen and the origins and industry of what CIOs are, because I think here at JIEDO, we really are going for what CIOs are supposed to be, which is to link the business mission of the organization to what technology can empower us to do. And especially given that we're dealing with global networks of terror and of criminal activity, you have to use a network to defeat a network. So the CIO, through the technologies and of knowledge management, information technology, give the tools that empower us to use this whole of government approach to work with our coalition partners, to have a very rapid innovation cycle that can counter that of our opponents.
One thing you talk about is using technology to empower the mission. So does that mean, are you hands-on from a strategy standpoint? Are you more hands-on from an operational standpoint? Do you get your fingers dirty with the bits and the bytes, or where do you, how do you sit?
You say or, I'd say it's and. And the focus of a CIO should always be first and foremost strategic. I mean, if it's not first and foremost strategic, it's probably more of an IT director. And there may come a point when JIEDO would need more of an IT director than it would a CIO. But in the strategic area, we're looking at information sharing, because one of our three lines of operation is attack the network. So think of these global networks reaching across, sharing techniques of terror, sharing money, sharing, you know, moral support, and recruiting using the internet. and think about the things that we have to do to try and get them before they even build the bomb, to thwart their ability to get the materials, to get the technology, to apply the technology, to know what they're about, and if at all possible, to nab some of those folks. It's a knowledge management, information technology empowered kind of activity because it's global and it's going at the speed of light.
You talk about three strategic lines. One of them, you said, attack the network. What are the other two?
Defeat the device. And this is applying, you know, these rapidly developing technologies and some old-fashioned ideas to actually enable our forces when they come across a device, well, first to detect it, and then when they detect it, to mitigate it one way or another. And some of the technologies are as simple as having a sickle in the end of a long stick where you're probing the dirt instead of, you know, the way we used to do it when I was in the Marine Corps was probe with a little bayonet, you know, looking for the landmine. You know, now what we do is they put it on the end of the stick. So very simple, fairly primitive technology to some very advanced things, some things so advanced you're not going to have me discuss them on the radio. So that's defeat the device. And then the third line of operation is train the force. Now, in defeat the device, you use the information technology because you have to know what's being developed and discovered around the world. You've got to be able to get the requirements that you have, what we call gaps, and get those to the really smart people in the private sector and other parts of government with our coalition partners so that they know what we need and we can have a dialogue, again, using technology to facilitate that discussion, to get those solutions, and then a rapid acquisition process, which is workflow, to get those products to the field. And we have some really startling, I think, exciting success stories of how that happened. And then the third part, which is train the force, it isn't just training them, it's learning what the bad guys are doing so that you can modify your training and train to counter the specific new techniques that they're bringing in and to make that training available to the people who really need it so they can almost self-serve a lot of times and get the training and information they need at real time when they're in combat, you know, when they're in a theater of operation, when they're ramping up to go. And again, that's a knowledge management. We have a site, a CAC, which is the Common Access Card enabled site that called JKNIFE, which actually enables us to get that training to the units and to get the training that others develop, because we're not into inventing it ourselves. We're into getting a solution from anywhere.
I want to go back and revisit some of the success stories you talked about. Before we do that, let's do that after break. But let's do very quickly discuss the makeup of your office. How many people do you have? How many contractors? And what was your IT budget for 2012?
Okay, well, you know, the numbers are shrinking, as you can well imagine. I started off with six GS-15 positions, for example, and that's dropped down to four. In the CIO shop, you know, we've probably got CIO, IT, probably about 100, 150 people total, which is not really that big for the mission and the sort of cutting-edge technology we do. And that includes parts that don't necessarily directly report to me, but that's sort of the whole vision. Our government percentage of that is about 10%. You know, we're about 90% contractors. So we work very hard to make sure we maintain proper government oversight. It's in flux. But, you know, I think what's really important is the effect we generate. And as IT shops go, that's not that large for a global operation where we've got people deployed into the theater of op.
And how's the budget work? Do you have a budget directly tied to the CIO, or is the budget directly tied more? Yours is mostly salary and expenses, but your budgets are tied to the program office who says, hey, help us build this, and we have this much money to do that.
Well, you know, the CIO position, I'm actually the first real designated CIO of that belongs to the organization. So there's still real adjustment going on. In August, we put into place a IT governance process that was based on the COBIT model. If you're familiar with a COBIT, it's sort of an industry standard. But we put in a model of sort of audit control governance, and that was put in place in August. And pretty much all resources go through the governance process I manage. you know, we still are finding little bits of shadow with the famed shadow IT. It isn't necessarily we need to control it. We're just a CIO shop looking to synchronize it and make sure it's going with the vision of our directors.
And then just roughly flat numbers, what can you tell us roughly what your numbers are?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, we have a total cost of ownership process that we've got in place. We don't really go into the elements of our budget to any degree. You know, the overall budget is, of course, public record. But because of the nature of some of our programs, how we spend specific funding, we usually don't get into in the public. But I will point that knowing your cost internally is critical. And we've adopted a process used by the CIO from OSD, Office of Secretary of Defense. It's not the DOD CIO. It's a different CIO. This is the CIO that actually supports directly the Secretary of Defense and his staff. They have a process that they developed with MITRE Corporation, and we've taken their approach to doing that to actually capture all of our IT costs. And that's somewhat unusual in federal IT that you actually know what your complete costs are through the life cycle.
Very true. That's very unusual when it comes to CIOs and federal IT. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start jumping into some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jim Kraft, the Chief Information Officer for the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization, or JIEDO.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jim Kraft, the Chief Information Officer for JIEDO, the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization. Now, Jim, before break, we're talking a lot about the makeup of your organization, your role as the CIO. You brought up two things that I want to start with for this segment. You talked about some of the successes you had, and then you also talked about the rapid acquisition process. How do those two fit together, and how did the rapid acquisition process really help make those successes happen?
The first success I want to have a little introduction on is one that is not directly an IT success, but it's one that highlights the culture and the importance of what we do. And this is the PUGs, protective overgarments and protective undergarments. And the problem that we had was, you know, we came up with the MRAPs and, you know, worked with other people, come up with the MRAPs, got them forward so people could drive around in fairly safe vehicles. But to win the war, to have the influence, you've got to get out of those vehicles. And so we had dismounted operations, people getting out of the vehicles to engage with the villagers, to help the villagers and the Afghans, the Iraqis. And the enemy saw what we're doing and did not want us to get close to the people. So they started using IEDs to target it against our dismounted forces. And what happened is you had people losing legs, and anything basically below the waist was getting destroyed. And it was really heartbreaking. You know, you visit these warriors in Bethesda and other facilities, and they can have a good attitude about losing their legs. I mean, remarkable. You find it absolutely incredible, the attitude they have. But when they face the possibility of never having children, you know, that crushes them. And so we got word back from I think it was a trauma nurse that got the word that, hey, we've got this problem. And a lot of it was dirt and things causing infection that couldn't be treated fast enough. And we found out that our British allies had come up with some silk boxer shorts that had made an initial benefit in that area, which you can imagine, you know, sort of like really heavy, good quality silk underwear. And that was, you know,
In 110 degree weather. Well, who doesn't want some silk?
Exactly. Right. So we got by email, you know, that we had this problem and there was a solution. And within 6 months, JIEDO had managed to get 200,000 sets of equipment into the hands of the forces in theater in Afghanistan. And if you've ever worked with the acquisition, this was from an email of the requirement to getting improved gear. I mean, I'm talking not just the, I mean, we didn't send the silk shorts. I think some of those initially went forward. I'm talking we generated a high-speed solution that had an undergarment, which was an improved version of the, think of it as somewhat armored Speedos, with an outer garment, which actually could even take more damage. And these were getting into theater, into the hands of the people who needed it. So part of the way we do that is we have a system called JCAMP, which is a rapid acquisition system. Well, we use that for IT. And there's a lot of solutions that we generate. And again, because you're starting to get into attack the network, and we don't want to talk to the bad guys over radio of what we're doing. But imagine if you're using software to find and hunt down bad guys that are turning kids into bombs. Imagine what the difference it makes getting that software to roll up some of those bad guys to the people who could use it 2 or 3 months early or a year early means. We find the tools that develop and we get them out there. Another factor that we have working for us is we have a special fund, what we call JIADF, you know, so it's a Joint IED Defeat Fund that Congress has authorized. And I'm going to talk in inside the Beltway Pentagon speech. It's 3-year uncolored money. Okay, so a lot of people listening to this are probably going to say, well, what's that mean? You know, they're not green, but it means that we can use it flexibly however we need it as the situation changes. We don't have to reprogram it. You know, we don't have to go get a mother may I to take dollars from one purpose to another. And that really helps our agility, speed, and innovation.
Come on, my audience knows the 3-year uncolored money is. They're just very jealous that you have some.
Exactly.
Most people have 1-year very colored money, and usually that color is give it back to Congress if you don't use it. So I think having the ability to have 3-year uncolored money is so key to be able to, as you said, get things done, do it quickly, and then not be so risk adverse either.
Right. And I'm hoping that, you know, one of the things that we're going to be doing this year is trying to document best practices and come up with recommendations and talk to other people in government about how they could adapt some of the lessons of JIADO. So what I have felt for a long time that CIOs need to have some flexibility in moving funds from one program to another to be able to capture the opportunities that technology gives. I mean, it's terrible that you program in to buy, say, a mobile device, and by the time you get it, they don't even sell the mobile device commercially. I mean, you know, there's so many layers of handcuffing that we've put on. I think they've been working on rapid acquisition, that work on these things, rapid acquisition for years. But, you know, getting rapid acquisition doesn't seem to be rapid.
The rapid acquisition tends to be the GSA schedule, which they do a very good job.
Yes,
but it's
they
not as quick as people would tell you that it needs to be on more complex items. When you talk about the 3-year and uncolored money, obviously there's oversight. Congress doesn't.
Oh, it's intense.
Congress will tell you that one of the reasons why something like the e-government fund did not survive is because they thought it was going to be a slush fund for technology. How are you getting out of that to make sure Congress knows this isn't some kind of quote-unquote slush fund?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons that I'm pushing really hard to get this total cost of ownership model that Ron Bechtel, who's the CIO of OSD, worked on, is that for the IT area, I want to make sure we're very sure that we show and at any time can answer the question where our money's being spent. But for JIADO, we follow the DFARS. We follow the law. I mean, so there's not like we've been given a pass on following the law. It's just sometimes the interpretations of the law become more and more rigorous. And you know, people will take a lot of disparate programs on a network, lump it together, call the network a system, and then all of a sudden you've made it a program that has to be reviewed at the assistant secretary level.
The milestone A, milestone B.
Oh, exactly.
And, right. You've handcuffed yourself, and you can't be flexible and agile and quick.
Right. And so what we've done is put in mechanisms in place, and we're using IT to empower these systems to move towards a web-based workflow kind of environment for using our processes, for tracking that. And that's a work in progress. The other thing is that we have a culture where the director of GIATO, and I think all past directors for GIATO, are people that are selected who are what I'll call hardened combat commanders who understand they have to accept risk. So, you know, if you look at the background of the present director at GIATO, you'll see somebody who knows how to accept risk to get the mission done. And he pushes and empowers and says, I want you to take the risk to get the mission done quickly, because speed means lives. And that's, you know, something that, you know, every day of the week we're reviewing who gets hurt and how bad they get hurt. And so that drives us to move faster on everything we do. And I think that's part of it. Part of it's cultural. Part of it's putting the mechanisms in place. And part of it is just the senior leader's firm direction, telling the whole organization to get on board with speed and agility.
And they're giving you cover. So if you get called to Congress, you have the cover to say, well, I'm happy to testify, but my lieutenant general here is happy to testify too. And then you get that cover. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some of your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jim Kraft, the Chief Information Officer for GIATO, the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization.
Are you ready to keep it 100? Are you ready to stomp out drugs, alcohol, and tobacco? Join the Federal City Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated and the Federal City Public Service Foundation for the 11th annual Stomp Dat Youth Step Show. Support your local youth March 23rd as they showcase their stepping talents for a great cause. Tickets available now at Ticketmaster. For more info, visit thefcacdst.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jim Kraft, the Chief Information Officer for the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization, or GIATO. Now, Jim, before break, we were talking a lot about your rapid acquisition process. Now, let's talk about your priorities. What do you hope to get done? What are you focusing on over the next 6 or 9 months?
You know, the priorities we have are pretty much the same as every federal CIO. The first one is, how do we maintain mission and improve on mission in the midst of the financial situation that we're all in? That is driving everything, is make mission, because anything that decreases from the mission, and we know, is going to have an effect on lives. You know, the enemy is trying to influence our strategy, and we want to keep them from using IEDs as a strategic influencer. So that's the big thing. I mean, the biggest thing is, how do I keep innovation going? Don't slow down. Don't try and go whole back and just cut blindly because the optics are what people want. How do we re-engineer our organization to be more and more efficient, but most importantly, maintain and increase our effectiveness? And that's the biggest priority. I mean, I have three strategic outcomes that are in our strategy. The first is a measurable impact on the IED mission, counter-IED mission, and that's pretty understandable, and I think I've talked a bit about that. The second is, we're working very hard to be a model IT organization, federal IT organization. And given that we've been given a culture of innovation and agility, we've been given a mandate to reach the whole of government and whole of industry, given that we've been told to accept risk, I see that this is a fertile ground to actually develop things that the rest of the federal government needs while contributing to my first outcome. And then the third outcome that I have in our strategy, our IT strategy, is to develop IT leaders, because, you know, the future is going to be how we develop our people. So by creating this culture, I'm hoping that the folks that we have at GIATO will eventually go and bring that innovation culture, that agility and speed culture, to wherever they go. One thing that we're doing, I think, is pretty innovative, is we have something called an Information Environment Coalition. And that means that every company that does IT work for GIATO, we give them an opportunity, a venue where they voluntarily can come together, and we've given them permission to exchange government information among each other and identify obstacles that the government should work on to make it easier for them to produce the results we want. So they, as a group, can come back with recommendations. We have a continual process improvement arm under our internal review. So think IG has our continual process improvement linked to it, and we're working very closely with them. So we're, I guess, arm in arm with the IG, which is pretty unusual too. But this IE coalition, we have MITRE facilitating that, and the government basically steps out, and then when they want to talk to us as a group, they can talk to us as a group. We have a IT baseline assessment going on, and this was based on some work that I did worked with in the Marine Corps. But here at JIATO, we have a Big Four accounting firm, Deloitte, and they're actually auditing our entire CIO operation, IT operation, to give us a grade based on a maturity model of value. So it will give us a grade, and we may get some low scores initially, on what value are we giving to the organization. And then I think I mentioned before, we are going to be trying to document all the things that we're doing, the total cost of ownership, the IE coalition, baseline assessment. Give you another example. We used, based on what we got from some of the coalition and the IT baseline assessment, we worked with Microsoft because we had licenses bought all over the place. And in 4 months from when we looked to do it, we basically took, at no cost to the government, tools that Microsoft had, measured, found out how we could adapt and reduce the number of licenses, and actually have come to the point of an enterprise license agreement in line with what DoD is doing with licensing. So in 4 months, that's pretty rapid from nothing to having a license agreement. That's an example.
That's all the time we have for today, but tune in next week for part two of my interview with Jim Kraft, the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization's Chief Information Officer. Next Thursday morning at 10:30, Kraft tells me about how some of the work his office is doing around rapid acquisition and IT innovation could be spread more widely across the government. You can listen right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And you can listen to this discussion and all my Ask the CIO interviews anytime on federalnewsradio.com.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.